Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 279. And our guest on the show today, bringing a dream for us to interpret and explore and relate it to her waking life, is Lynn from Japan. I've just finished recording that section, so I now know that Lynn has brought a recurring dream. She chose it specifically because she felt that, and she was correct, that it was a common recurring dream that a lot of you might relate to. So it's a very interesting dream, and along the way you'll pick up lots of interpretation tips and ways to explore your own dreams, as well as get a glimpse into Lynn's life and why this dream has been recurring for her. Before we just go there, a reminder about how this works. When you put up your hand to be a guest on The Dream Show, more of that later, we get everything organised and we meet on Zoom, even though we only actually deliver the audio version. It's highly confidential. Some guests even choose a different name, though they stay with their geographical locations and everything else. But it's highly confidential. But the one thing I do not know until we begin the recording is the dream. So I ask people, tell me nothing about your dream until we start recording, because I'm told that as listeners, you love to be with me on that feeling of hearing the dream for the first time and say, where do we explore the dream? How do we start? If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, it's a wonderful thing that you do to volunteer. You put up your hand. Obviously, it's also a way of perhaps talking about a dream with me instead of paying a consultation fee. And more importantly than that, it's a way of contributing to all of our listeners a dream and an example of how to interpret a dream and look into it. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And if you'd like to do that, go to my website at janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Look on the menu, go to podcasts, and you'll see there how to be a guest on The Dream Show. So I love it if you put your hand up and contact me to come on and do that. It's all pre-recorded, and we do record it in one take, but it doesn't go out live as we're doing it. So also, just before we go through, a reminder of my website. So that's one, janetheresa.com, Theresa without an H. And you can go there to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. And you can also listen to them all, of course, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the usual podcast platforms. JaneTheresa.com is where you can also go to read hundreds of my blogs on dreams and dreaming, to learn about my courses, to learn about my books, to learn about consulting me and everything else. And my other website, The Dream Academy, which is my learning platform, you can find that at dream-academy-online.com. You can go there to learn how to interpret your own dreams and various other courses, which you can do at your own pace, in your own time, in the comfort of your own home. Enough of that. Let's go to Lynn in Japan. Welcome to The Dream Show, Lynn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for volunteering. Would you like to tell us a little bit about where you are at the moment to give us some background?
I'm calling you from Japan. It's just 1 hour difference at the moment with Tasmania, so it's very convenient.
Yeah, it is lovely for me, that end too, to be in a similar kind of time zone. Often I'm early in the morning and somebody in America or Britain is on the other side of the evening. One of us is more awake than the other, but I think we're both in the same zone. Of course, as usual, I have no idea what dream any guest brings, so I'm all ears. On you go.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So I had this dream on the 4th of April, but in fact, it's a recurrent dream. So I also know that it's a common dream. So that's why I thought that it might be interesting for other people as well, in case they struggle with similar issues. And I can tell you a little bit about the pattern later, but maybe first about the dream. So I am in a room that doesn't look familiar with the group of people, as like I'm a part of a group of about 3 to 4 people. There's clearly one woman in her 30s probably, and my ex, ex-boyfriend and probably one more male who I cannot see very clearly, and he's not present there all the time. He like comes and goes. I cannot really understand whether he belongs to the group or he is just a maybe delivery person or something like this. Yeah, but anyway, this woman and myself and my ex-boyfriend are having a conversation together. And at first, the conversation is quite lively and the tone is friendly and lighthearted. At some point, the woman leaves the room and I remain alone with my ex. And I move next to him to some kind of couch where he's sitting. And we continue talking on the same, easy and lighthearted tone first. But then I start shifting gears towards our past relationship, and the atmosphere is, and the tone is gradually becoming more intense. At some point, I lean toward his hand and start kissing it and asking if he thinks we should start dating again. And basically, I'm begging him to get back together. At this point, he freezes completely. He just looks as if he's, spacing out. He's not moving away from me, but he stops replying and he's looking, just looking in front of him and clearly not at me. At this point, I feel completely ignored and misunderstood. And although we try talking after that about other topics, it's sort of, it's not very clear. It's clear that the things are not going very smoothly, and the dream basically interrupts there, so it's an unresolved dream. And I wake up feeling quite frustrated with him, with myself, and with the whole situation. And that's it. And I started having this type of dreams. So basically, it's a person, just to give a context, it's a person I dated in real life many years ago, more than 15 years ago. And I never saw him, maybe when we were dating, I actually saw him in dreams a couple of times, but he wasn't a frequent guest in my dreams, so to speak, until I actually moved to Japan, which happened in 2012. And from that point, he started showing up in my dreams with such a regularity. Sometimes it happens more frequently, sometimes less frequently. This period of my life, I don't see those dreams that frequently, but there's always same scenario, the kind of reunion with an ex after many years, seeing him again under certain circumstances, most often as part of some group. Most often I try to reach out, I try to have some conversation with him, or at least I try to make him look at me and pay attention to me, and most often I fail. So that is the scenario.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, not the unresolved dream, but fantastic material for us to work with. And interesting that you've got the timing of it. You know, although the actual person in real life, you stopped dating about 15 years ago, you only really started this recurring dream thing when you had a big change in your life, when you moved to Japan in 2012, which is 12 years ago. Yes. So there was 3 years before that. And so you're saying you used to have this dream with more regularity. It's a little bit less regularity now.
Right.
So just a little pause for people listening in, and a reminder about recurring dreams, that our dreams tend to be processing our experiences of the last 1 to 2 days. So every time we have a recurring dream, we know there's an experience coming up in our life that our dream is like, oop, there's that experience again, let's have the recurring dream. So we know that whatever the issue is, and obviously we're going to explore that, Lynn, is something that has come up for you quite a lot since you've been in Japan, although during the time that you've been in Japan, it has come up less and less often. So we know there is an issue that was kind of triggered when you moved there, but that is becoming less and less of an issue, or less frequently an issue. But because you had this version of the dream only on the 4th of April, which is
3 days ago while we're recording. You know, it has come up recently. So that's just sort of a bit of background for context there. And I think the other thing before we delve into it is that this kind of dream that that seems, you know, it's not a wildly symbolic dream, is it? It's not full of pink elephants and volcanoes. It's a dream that could easily happen. It's a situation that could easily happen in waking life, isn't it? It feels kind of real. Yeah. And one of the difficulties there, not for us as we're talking, but for some people, is that the more a dream looks like waking life, the more we tend to think it's a literal interpretation of what's happening, you know, that it is a dream about trying to get back with this ex rather than looking at it as a symbolic dream. So that's our hurdle. Because I'm guessing, but I should ask, is there any part of you that would be interested in getting back into a more intimate relationship with him? I can see you on Zoom and you're shaking your head no, but audibly you're saying no.
Not at all, because honestly, that relationship was very unhealthy in the ways that he showed up and I showed up. We didn't really bring out the best out of each other, and we broke up for a reason. You know, there was very good reasons why we decided no longer see each other, and then I moved. And I didn't even think about him that much, so I was very surprised when I started seeing him over and over again.
Okay, thank you. That is a lovely validation that this is not a dream. It is not what it appears to be, and it's not a dream about getting back. And I'm really pleased that you brought this dream up, because I think it will help a lot of people listening in to remember that those dreams that could be a scene from real life are not what they appear to be about. You know, that people can wake up from such a dream, especially a recurring dream, and think, oh, you know, maybe I missed something in the relationship, maybe I need to get back to them, even though it is, as you say, you consciously know it was an unhealthy relationship, it was a good one to be in the past. So we're looking at him in the dream as symbolizing something else, aren't we?
Right.
Yeah. So one of the ways that we approach people in a dream is to ask ourselves what three words we would use to describe that person's personality or approach to life. So when you think of him, what three words would you use to describe his personality or approach to life?
Yes, I actually thought about this question before. It was hard for me to, you know, narrow it down to just three words. The first word that came up was manipulative. That is unfortunately the first adjective, literally, and very strongly kind of is very prominent. And you can, of course, break it down to like smaller parts, like dishonest, for example, or I don't know, lazy in a way, trying to take advantage of other people, this type of thing. But I would say maybe it's okay to just keep it as manipulative, something like this, the first one. And then there are some positive things, of course, and as in any person. For example, he had great sense of humor, and he was the kind of person who could lighten up the atmosphere. Very easy to be around, sometimes very fun to be around as well. Could make you feel relaxed quite easily as well. There was some kind of softness, I would say appearance of kindness, not real kindness, but appearance of kindness, because in fact he was quite emotionally abusive, but there was definitely this, you know, you could call him a charming person in a way. And one last thing I would say, what I think he symbolized for me even before we started dating, was that he had very strong kind of, he was a very reasonable person. He had a very strong common sense in a way, right? So the practical sense of how things should look like. And I'm not very strong in that. So I tend to think deeply. I tend to overanalyze things, but sometimes I miss out on very basic and important, maybe obvious to other people things.
So you obviously knew him very, very well. Yeah, that's beautiful. And I love that. I love that you've also divided it into, you know, one really quite you've picked one of his more negative characteristics and you've picked a couple of his more positive characteristics, because everybody has a varied range. And that's what makes, you know, not only the relationships, but also interesting, you know, because we're attracted to the positive aspects, but do we really want the negative ones that come with that? And just in that statement there, even though I'm talking about relationship instead of the symbolism in the dream, in a relationship, we can have conflict with someone like that. The good, the bad, where do I go? And so he comes up, could come up in your dream as a symbol of conflict, just in looking at first glance. Here is a conflict between things that I like and things that I don't like, and how much am I willing to compromise in a certain situations. It's not exactly what he stands for in the dream, in my understanding, which we'll come to, but he, just pointing out that he is a conflicting symbol, isn't he?
Right, I agree.
Yeah. So in the beginning of each dream, you're in an unfamiliar room. And even though it's unfamiliar, have you got any kind of descriptive feeling for what the room was like?
Like a living room in someone's house. Nothing, you know, nothing that would stand out in particular. I can't remember. Unfortunately, you know, my dream recall has become worse compared to what it used to be. I think it's probably because I'm working a lot these days. Very tired. Unfortunately, I can't remember much about the room, and I'm not familiar with the people either. The woman who looks, for example, completely unfamiliar in this dream. Although in other recurring dreams, I actually see him with people who were part of, you know, our group of friends back then.
Okay, that's lovely. So nothing stands out about the setting, which means that we can put even more emphasis on the fact that it felt unfamiliar, and it was unfamiliar. Yeah. And I think, you know, you've added that extra layer now of saying that the people used to be more familiar in your dreams and they're more unfamiliar in this one too. So when I rephrase that, your dream starts in a situation which feels unfamiliar. And then I'm going to rephrase that again. When I'm in an unfamiliar situation, ... because we're then going to look at the rest of the dream. So the beginning of a dream will often state symbolically what the issue or situation is that you are going on to explore in your dream, something that within your life the last couple of days that your dreaming mind needs to explore, usually because it's conflicting, but sometimes just because it's new. But because it's a recurring dream, and because it's unresolved, and because variations of your dream on the past have been unresolved from what you're saying, we know it's probably a conflicting issue, because things are generally unresolved when there's a conflict and in a conflict. Oh, shall I? Shall I don't know. I'm unresolved. So we're starting off by saying, when I'm in an unfamiliar situation, a conflict comes up that I haven't yet been able to resolve. So we'll look at that later with more context, but you may already be thinking, oh, and the day or two before this dream, where did I feel that I was in an unfamiliar situation? And it may be actually a physically unfamiliar situation, or it may be emotionally unfamiliar or mentally unfamiliar, but kind of definitely not in the comfort zone of your home. You're out in something unfamiliar, and that's the kind of setting. And the dream goes on, you know, you said specifically it was a group of 3 to 4 people. So it's possible that we can amend that and say, I'm in an unfamiliar situation, which may involve a group of people, or there may be several aspects of myself involved in this unfamiliar situation. And apart from the ex-boyfriend, the woman that stands out, is in her 30s, did you say?
Say yes, in her mid-30s or late-30s, something like this.
So her mid to late 30s. So when you were in relationship with this, where were you in your mid to late 30s? Are you there now, or is that gone? Or
I moved to Japan in my mid-30s.
Okay. So she may...
Sorry, yeah, but I was probably turning 35 at that
point. Well, that's bang on your mid-30s, isn't it?
35, something like this.
Okay, so that's lovely. So it's possible that she may represent you as you were when you made this big transition of moving to Japan.
Interesting.
Yeah, and any time we make a huge, because I'm assuming, Lynn, that it was a huge, was it a huge change for you to move to Japan? Okay, so when any time we do make a huge change, to some extent, we leave a part of ourselves behind, for good or for bad. And she may be the part of yourself, and also maybe a part of your feminine energy, by which I mean your yin, your creative, emotional, intuitive, inner world kind of part of yourself, that maybe or maybe not has been stuck in time, because she's still in her mid-30s in the dream. And I'm already thinking there, actually, that I'm just jumping ahead at one little bit, that you said about the ex, that one of the things that he was good at was reasonable, common sense, practical, which, of course, are very inner male things. They're very young, aren't they? They're very left brain. Whereas the female yin, a very right brain, the creative, intuitive, emotional, spiritual. And you said, I'm not always strong. I'm not always strong practically. And yet you also said you overanalyze, and both those things are yang. It's like they're both overanalyzing is thinking, but you also say not strong practically. So there's kind of conflict with your masculine side there. And I'm just picking up on the fact that you left this feminine side behind, this mid-30s. So it may be that in moving to Japan, that part of you was required to really step up in the left brain department, in the male, inner male department, and you've left this, some aspects of this creative, intuitive, emotional self behind, although she keeps coming up in your recurring dreams. I don't know, but we'll come back to that. So, and your ex-boyfriend's there too. Now I'm just reading the notes that I took. So there was another guy there, and it wasn't clear. He comes and goes, and you even thought he might be a delivery person or something.
I do think still he was a part of a group, probably. He was just, he wasn't in the same room the whole time.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't think he was a delivery person. I just thought at this at one point when I was writing down the dream, but I don't think, it sounds like he is a part of the group. And maybe there could have been more people. It's not just the four of us. It's just, I remember the four of us.
Okay, that's great. And I'm going to ask you a really silly question, really, but I just want your first response. What does a delivery person do?
Oh, they deliver food, for example. We could have had some kind of gathering and not enough food, and we could have ordered more food, for example, something like
okay, that. I love that. So he may or may not represent something that brings more of something that you need into the room.
Right.
So he may be representing a part of yourself that is capable of bringing you more nourishment, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, but he comes and goes, he fades in and fades out. There's a part of yourself that may look after yourself and care for yourself sometimes and not so much others, but you haven't pictured him as a female, you've pictured him as a male. So it's more the left brain, logical, maybe practical, side of yourself that comes and goes in delivering you what you need. Okay. So we've got him sort of sorted out. So whenever there are a group of people in a dream, they are representing something about yourself, you know, as everything and everyone in a dream represents something about the dreamer. So we have the situation that you're in an unfamiliar, or you feel like you're in an unfamiliar and maybe group situation, and there's a part of yourself that would be capable of bringing you what you need, but it's there sometimes, it's not there other times. So there may have been a situation a couple of days before the dream where you think, oh, unfamiliar territory, not sure how I feel. And part of myself keeps stepping up to give me what I need, particularly from a logical or practical perspective. And then he's gone, and then he's there, and then he's gone. And at the same time, I'm aware of this beautiful, creative, emotional, feminine energy that I may have left behind when I came to Japan. Okay, so far?
Oh, yeah, so far so good. I cannot really pinpoint it to specific, specific points that I left behind. I think that I started developing my creative side a lot more once I moved to Japan. But it could be that also, you know, I just had less time to, you know, maybe rest up and relax and do some things, not necessarily for productive outcomes, so that can be part of it.
Yes, yeah, because she's in your dream and you're very close to her in your dream, so you know that you are in connection with this part of yourself in your life now, but for some reason she's signaling to you that she relates to the time when you left wherever you left before and came to Japan. So it's like there's a part of myself that's been with me all this time, but I'm still strongly connecting to how she was back then rather than how I am now or how she is. That part of yourself, well, come back to her, but you've got a kind of feeling for that. So anyway, she goes, leaving you with the male side. So this then becomes a conversation or a conflict with your male side. How do I feel when I'm in an unfamiliar situation, particularly in the last couple of days? Well, the first thing I do is I really step up to connect with my left brain, with my logical, my practical brain. And this is what I want to get me through here. But just before you did that, after she left, you said, I'm alone and I go to the couch to be closer to him. So you do notice that this sort of female side of yourself has left and you're really focusing on the male side. And then you said an interesting thing, Lynn. You said, I shift gears to the past relationship. And I'm interested in this choice of phrase, shifting gears, which is beautiful.
I changed the topic, right.
Yeah. So it may also be that when you're in an unfamiliar situation, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally, and you feel maybe abandoned by your creative or intuitive or emotional self, that's when you shift gears and go into, okay, I'm going to engage my inner male here. I'm going to be logical. I'm going to be practical. I'm going to shift gears.
Yeah, it was a very direct attack, which of course I wouldn't have done in real life. That's
straightforward. No, I love that we do things in dreams that we would never dream of doing in waking life. Because they really show more of our unconscious mind, don't they? It's like, you know, this is not your dream. But for example, when people have dreams of anger in the dream, there are often people that express huge anger in the dream that they never, ever would in waking life. You know, the more someone tells me about an angry dream, the more I know that you probably never see this person angry even for a moment. And so it's in these dreams where the unconscious really gets to say and express itself. And that's helpful for us to know. So although you probably relate to shifting gears when you're feeling in an unfamiliar situation, this moving into this intense kind of questioning, this intense attack, you used the word attack, would be something that's like, my unconscious mind just wants to get in here and attack this and confront it. But there's no way in the world I would do that in waking life. I'm far too what would you be? What would stop you from attacking in waking life?
I guess just the understanding that it's not effective.
Yes.
It won't help me very much. It would get me, you know, the opposite effect from what I'm trying to get.
I love that, because that is a very logical and practical explanation that you've given there. And it's correct. It's 100% correct. But once again, you're in perhaps an emotional situation and you shift gears to take a very practical situation that wouldn't be if expressing how I really feel would not have an effective outcome. So I wouldn't do that in waking life. However, in the dream, I'm getting beneath that and seeing how I really feel. You lean towards his hand. And so the leaning towards in the dream, I guess, is exploring leaning towards this side of myself. So we're going to come back and have a look at what you said about this side of yourself, because that's what he represents. And remember, this is the unconscious, an unconscious aspect of yourself. So one of it is, we'll take the two positive ones first. One of it is you lean towards a sense of humor. I wonder if when I'm in an unfamiliar situation, I can rely on my sense of humor to bring me through. That's one. One is he lightens up the atmosphere. He's fun and easy, more relaxed to be around. So that is, I would lean towards, or I wish I could lean towards lightening up the atmosphere, making things more relaxed to be around. That maybe that's the way for me to handle an unfamiliar situation. But it doesn't quite work, because he rebuffs this approach. But then we must also look at the manipulative side of it. Now, so there's no way in the world that you're manipulative. But one of the ways that you break that down, the third one, you said it's as if being manipulative, as if he takes advantage of other people. So where I would be coming at there, Lynn, is not saying that you take advantage of other people at all, but that a part of yourself feels wary that if you step out and do something to lighten up the atmosphere, or something to introduce a sense of humor, or bring some kindness, that it might be judged as taking advantage of other people.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in other words, a shadow side of yourself that says, oh, you can't say that or do that because it will be interpreted as taking advantage of other people, or I will feel I'm taking advantage of other people. I want to make this I want to make myself feel more comfortable in this unfamiliar situation. So I want to bring a sense of lightness. But rather than, even though part of me wants to bring lightness in because that's lovely and people will lighten up and I'll lighten up and everyone will feel good, I'm worried that deep down inside I'm taking advantage of other people just to make me feel more comfortable.
No, that makes a lot of sense, you know, because every time we are trying to make a joke, there is a tiny risk that it can be perceived as, I don't know, inappropriate or rude in some way, or fill in the blanks, you know. So that can definitely be a restraint for some people, including myself. I try to be diplomatic, especially given that I'm, you know, very often in multicultural environments, people have different backgrounds. I have to be cautious about what I say, what I don't say, how I say it.
And all those are wonderful things and things that you absolutely have to do in waking life. And it's interesting to see that your unconscious mind is suggesting that it can be difficult for you to relax and have fun and lighten things up because you are so aware of that. Or as you said of yourself earlier, I overthink things. So, you know, part of the question could be there are the situations where, yeah, being careful of the different multicultural people around me, being careful of what I actually say. Am I sometimes too cautious and too overthinking in an unfamiliar situation where I could actually lighten up and introduce more of my natural and native kindness into a situation, but there's a heavy part of myself that is judging me for doing that and saying, you're just doing this to make life easier for yourself or to get heard or whatever it is that you want in the group. And you know, you and I and everyone listening in is going to say that is so daft. We all do it. That is so daft. You know, just enjoy it. Make fun, lighten up. But we all know that we have these shadows in ourselves, usually from childhood, that stop us from doing things and, you know, particularly overthinking. So if you think about that, if you think, you know, I'm wondering if you can stretch back to your earliest memory of feeling that there was someone in your life that was that you felt took advantage of other people who appeared to be not the ex before that, who appeared to be just lightening up or making people feel relaxed, or it was gave a feeling that they were kind, but underneath it you thought they're just manipulating me.
Me specifically, or people in general?
It would be great if it was you specifically, but if it was something that you observed of people in general, that's fine too.
No, I can definitely, you know, tie it back to some episodes. Not something very dramatic, really, but, you know, tiny little things that do happen in childhood.
Yes.
Including kids or someone from extended family, for example.
Yeah, it's usually as close as either parents or extended family, or that other thing that you mentioned there, other kids, when we're small, other kids, yeah. Because we take on our views about the world and our perspectives from the interactions and experiences we have when we're very small, and they create our foundational beliefs and our foundational patterns that sadly become really, really difficult to shift and change as we get older. We always refer back to them. So that, yeah, so all of those experiences that you mentioned there, you had an eye out, and it's interesting, Lynn, that you notice more than one person when you were younger, more than one person that had this trait. So almost as if there might have been a bit of, what's the word I'm looking at? Like kind of like had your antennae out. I'm always going to recognise people that are a bit manipulative, and it may stretch back to an earlier character that was that you may have forgotten, but you had your guard up for people that were like that. Now, what that usually then means, especially for a small child, is that small child will say, never, ever in my life am I ever going to be like that, because those people were cruel to me or whatever it was, made me feel uncomfortable. Maybe even made me feel unfamiliar in a group situation. I don't know. We might go that far. Yeah, so we make that decision, not consciously, we unconsciously make that decision, I'm never going to be like that. In fact, to ensure that I'm not like that, I'm going to be the exact opposite. I'm going to be the complete opposite. I'm never going to be manipulative. I'm going to be, what's the opposite of manipulative, Lynn?
Honest.
Yes, I'm going to be really honest. Now, in your little list under manipulative for him, you put dishonest and lazy, take advantage of other people. So the opposite to manipulative then would be honest. And what's the opposite to lazy?
Hardworking, I guess. But I don't think it's so straightforward. I think it's more about, for me at least, it feels it's more about staying in integrity in general and honesty as a part of it.
Yes.
That doesn't really mean that it's someone who works from morning till night. It may be, you know, someone who works, moves kind of smarter, has a smarter way of working and moving
yes.
towards. So.
So have you made those, do you feel that that's the way that you live your life now, working smartly and working well and valuing integrity above a lot of things, which are wonderful characteristics?
Yes, yeah. Definitely, yes. Yeah. I feel very strongly about those qualities, partly because, as you said, they were not part of my, you know, family culture. I mean, the family of origin. So it did feel completely strange and alien and unfamiliar when I witnessed such instances in real life sometimes.
Yes, perfect. So you can see how there's a shadow lodged in you. We all have our shadows, and that shadow is worried that for one moment you might step away from 100% integrity and step down to 99.9%, and it's going to say, no, 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 you're being manipulative, you're being all these things you didn't want to be. So, you know, it's good to know there's an aspect of yourself that's deeply unconscious that is like that, and it's good to know where it came from and how it tries to sabotage you so that you can just flick it off in a way, though we can also do some dream alchemy. Because, oh, there it goes again. There's that voice. You know, I'm just trying to relax and lighten up in an unfamiliar situation. And this overthinking voice comes in and, you know, tries to make sure that I'm, let's move it up to 101% integrity and honesty. So I'm just having a look at the notes you also said about him. There we go back. So in the part of the dream, you lean towards his hand. Should we get together again? So there's a part of yourself thinking, okay, in any unfamiliar, any group situation in which I feel unfamiliar, should I get back together with a part of myself that knows how to lighten up the situation, that knows how to relax, that knows how to bring in a sense of humor? And yet you get no response from that part of yourself, because it's basically saying, no, because if you do that, this part of yourself believes you're going to be manipulative and all these other awful things as well. So it won't engage with you. And and you and I and everyone listening in is sort of saying, well, you know, yes, it's great. You, of course, you know, you must have a wonderful side of yourself that knows exactly how to lighten up and relax and make people feel comfortable, but do more of it, because a shadow is only a threat. It's only a part of yourself that we can quieten. You said an interesting thing. So he frees when you try to get in contact with him, connect with him. He frees and spaced out, stops replying, looks in front of him. Yeah, so there may be a part of yourself in an unfamiliar situation that wants to engage in different ways, but freezes out. The part of yourself that may think, I could say this to lighten things up, or I could say this to make everyone laugh, may freeze a bit.
And if I can just add one quick thing, because I actually listened to a podcast episode on stress responses just the day before I had the dream, and they talked about a freeze response a lot, and there was such memorable picture of a frozen man somewhere in some kind of cube of ice or something like this. And I guess that image sort of stuck with me, and probably was, again, my unconscious mind just kind of trying to process this experience as well and integrate it into the dream.
Totally, absolutely great observation. So yes, your unconscious mind would have gone, do a quick life scan, Lynn's life scan of all the times where there's been a kind of freeze element, and it was a man too, so freezing my inner male, and you've come up beautifully with that kind of situation. After that, you said, I wrote down, I felt ignored and misunderstood. So in situations which you may or may not be relating to at the moment, where you're on unfamiliar territory and all this stuff comes up, is there a part of you that sometimes feels misunderstood or ignored?
Very much so. I could definitely, you know, when I had this dream, I tried to interpret it myself somehow, and I could... I didn't really emphasize this aspect of conflict and being in unfamiliar situation as much, but I thought, okay, since it's a recurrent dream, it should refer to some kind of recurrent pattern in real life. And one of them is looking for jobs in a different country, which is something I'm trying to do very actively. And since I'm in a quite competitive industry, quite competitive field, I get a lot of rejections. It's just normal part of the process. I understand it rationally, but of course, every time I feel exactly like you describe, right? Some kind of rejected is almost the same as ignored.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah, that's very human and very natural to feel that way, and very frustrating when you know you've got wonderful skills to offer and it's just such a huge, big world. So that will then, as you say, rationally you can understand that, but emotionally it's deeper. So what that will then do, Lynn, is probably take you back to earlier periods in your life when you felt ignored or misunderstood, not in the context of applying for jobs or being knocked back from anything in that way, but other areas of life, relationship, because your ex is in the dream, stuff that happened at school, anything there is going to bring up ignored, misunderstood, perhaps frozen out as well. So the dream was unresolved at that point. You tried talking to others, you couldn't get any communication. That's where the dream stopped, as if the dreaming mind is going, you know, I'm a recurring dream. I keep getting stuck at this point. I get stuck at the point where I feel ignored and misunderstood. I can't quite break through this because it resonates so much with my earlier life. So obviously we can do some dream alchemy on it to begin to change that. But before we look at that, is there anything else you'd like to ask or contribute or throw light on?
Probably not. I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Right.
Even more.
So would you say that you've introduced the podcast idea that came into the frozen man that came into your dream? Would you say, you don't have to tell us what it is because everybody's listening in, we're not having a one-on-one here, but would you say in the last couple of days before the dream that you were in a situation where you felt things were a bit of an unfamiliar group situation?
In a group situation in particular?
Yeah, we'll try that first.
Not really.
And in just an unfamiliar situation?
Oh, yes, definitely. Not in a literal sense. It's more like on a symbolic level. One aspect that I mentioned was a professional aspect, looking for jobs. And I'm also trying, to do some other things. For example, shifting my daily routine to a more healthier one. And that's been also quite resistant to change, I would say. And there's one more situation in personal life when I'm just starting to get to know someone, and I was also afraid that I might have been a bit too persistent at some point.
Yes. So that, taking the second one first, being too persistent, your unconscious mind is going, yeah, like manipulative, you mean. you will spend time with me, which is not what you would have been doing at all. But yeah, shadow is going, you're overstepping, you're getting too close, you're being manipulative. So it's good to know that feeling that you have in waking life is probably more related to your shadow than your actual self. And the same with your health too. When you are trying to, again, no need to be specific because everyone's listening, but when you're trying to, and I'm sure actually making these health changes in your life, what are the kinds of things where you're not meeting your goals? What kind of holds you back?
It's just a pattern that is very hard to shift, because everything that is health related is also body related. As we know, body is kind of tied to our subconscious mind. Some people even equate body says equal subconscious mind. I'm not sure if that's true, but definitely once I try to shift, I've tried to shift this pattern many, many times, and almost every time some health issues, usually little health issues, started to come up. And I understand that these are parts of this resistance mechanism. But you know, sooner or later, I just give up. I kind of surrender. Okay, I said let it be where it wants to be. I stop trying to change. So that is kind of recurrent as well.
Yeah. So that resistance that you've noted when moving into an unfamiliar situation, such as trying to get healthier, may, in ways that we may not understand, also relate back to this feeling of. I wonder if it's related to the integrity that you said. You know, I wonder, I'm just guessing here, Lynn, whether it's like, okay, if I step up to eat more healthily or exercise more healthily or whatever it is, if I'm going to do this, I've got to do it with 100% integrity. I've got to do it right or not at all. And so your saboteur goes, oh, that's too hard to do it right. So we'll just introduce a little physical malady here to stop you doing it at all.
I guess it was my approach in the past, definitely. I'm trying to introduce change this time a little bit in a smarter way by like smaller, gradual baby steps rather than huge and drastic change.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, let's see how it goes. But I'm hopeful because I'm trying something different this time.
I really like that idea of the small baby steps, not only because it's probably the best way to go, but also because it paints quite a different picture from the dream where you feel you judge yourself from jumping in too quickly, being too close, being too pushy, how you judged yourself, even though it's not. So taking those little steps in waking life, your health are in alignment with where you feel more comfortable.
True.
Yeah. And in the same token, they may then come from that fear of jumping in too quick and what might that bring. So what I would like to do is to suggest some dream alchemy, because for people listening in who aren't familiar with dream alchemy, what we're essentially looking at here is the dream appears in the language of the person's unconscious mind, in this case yours, Lynn. And so it may be extremely symbolic, or it may be look a bit more like waking life like yours does, but it's still symbolic. But it is the language of the unconscious mind, not the language of the conscious mind. So in order to change that programming or talk to that shadow and tell it to make some changes, we need to talk to it in the same language. So we go to the individual person's dream language and chat to it in that way. So the dream is unresolved. Because you feel ignored and misunderstood, and because he freezes. So I'm just having a little think here. We don't want him to unfreeze, because we don't really want you to invite him back into your life. But we want a sense of you unfreezing in an unfamiliar situation, of you feeling warmth and lightness of being, rather than overanalyzing. Do you think that's the kind of way that we might come from?
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Let's try it.
Yeah. So do you have an artistic bent of any kind?
Some kind, yeah. Not very developed, I would say, the amateur-ish side.
Okay. So maybe in whatever way that is, whether it's poetry or craft or drawing or painting or whatever it is, I wonder if you could play with the theme of something that is freezing. I'm trying to avoid the use melting, but unfreezing. and what comes out of that unfreezing is all the positive things that you want. To the opposite to misunderstood is a feeling of being understood at last. What's the opposite to being ignored?
Seen,
or heard, yeah. So a sense playing with some kind of art of something that is frozen, or a part of yourself that's been frozen for fear, frozen in fear, melting, relaxing, flowing, which is the more female, feminine side, flowing. And in that flowing, becoming a version of yourself that is more, I've forgotten the word you just said there. What did you say for the opposite of ignored?
Seen or heard.
Yes, that it's more seen and heard and understood. And for any alchemy, whatever modality you choose, whether it's a visualization or whether it's some of the things that we've mentioned, it's really important to have the feeling in your body of taking the negative feeling from the dream and transforming it into the emotion that you prefer. So playing with this art or whatever you do and coming from a feeling of being misunderstood and ignored and yet transforming that into the imagination that you, I'm sure you have, of what it is what it feels like to be seen and heard and understood, and to let that emotion come through in the art that you create. So in doing that, you're passing the message to your unconscious mind, there are parts of myself that are frozen, and maybe I've frozen them because I'm frightened of them, because I think that they might be judged as manipulative or whatever. But I'm ready to unfreeze those because I know that in there is some really lovely right brain, female side of myself that needs to be heard and seen and understood. And the more that I invite this part of myself to unfreeze, particularly in unfamiliar situations, and step into my being and feel it in your body, then life is going to change for the better, including maybe being also seen, heard, and understood in your job applications.
Yes, let's hope so.
Have you got a clear feeling for what to do for the alchemy? Because obviously we can't do that in this chat. It's something you've got to do afterwards.
No, I understand. You gave a fantastic concept, which I will try to develop somehow in whatever form is available to me. And then, yeah, let's see what happens.
That's lovely. I'd love to hear how that goes. Yeah. Would you, in final, would you like to summarize the key thing that you, the key takeaway that you've got from our chat on your dream today?
I guess it was very interesting at the very beginning how you pinpointed the conflicting part.
Yes.
And some of the things that I totally missed because. I tried to take some of your courses. I learned certainly a lot, I mean, online courses, but still I would say I wouldn't be able to, I totally missed on some of the nuances that are actually quite critical in understanding.
Yeah, thank you for that. And it's often true that we can get so far with our own dreams, but because they're our own dreams and our own stuff, we sometimes need to have that other person to bounce off to get into the, as you say, the nuances. So that's lovely. Thank you so much for being a guest on The Dream Show, Lynn. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you.
I'm sure you enjoyed listening to our conversation as much as I enjoyed talking with Lynn about her dream. And just a reminder, if you'd like to have that experience and be a guest on The Dream Show, go to my website at janeteresa.com, go to the menu, go to podcasts, and in the drop-down box you'll find Be a Guest on The Dream Show, which tells you a lot more and is basically a very simple form to fill in your name, your email address, and a couple of sentences about you, but not telling me anything about your dream. And then I will contact you to arrange a recording date. Otherwise, my other website, dream-academy-online.com. Please share this episode with anybody you think would be interested in understanding more about their dreams. I will speak to you next month for another episode of The Dream Show. Thank you. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.